6. Lydia. Cleaned up and composed, Lydia walked silently through the temple corridors, following the directions a servant had given her to a level with more lush appointments. Her new boots sank into the deep carpets, the air far warmer than it was in the dormitories. Stopping in front of an ornate wooden door, she knocked once.
"Enter,"
a muffled voice responded, and pushing open the door, Lydia stepped inside. The room was large, the floors covered with thick carpets, and the air kept warm by the flames in the large fireplace to her left. The wall opposite to the door was full of windows, the drapes pulled back to allow in the muted sunlight. Quindor sat with his back to the view, bent over a heavy desk that was covered with papers.
"Take a seat, Lydia."
Then he pushed a large box in front of her.
"An assortment of spectacles. Hopefully you can find a pair that suits, for I'm afraid there are no lens makers in Mudaire."
"Where did all these come from?" she asked, trying on a gold-rimmed pair but swiftly discarding them as they made her vision even more blurry. Quindor gave a soft cough.
"They are from those who no longer need them."
"From the dead." The contents of her stomach threatened to rise, but she swallowed them back down. Now was no time for squeamishness.
"We need to discuss your role in the patrols."
"Patrols?" she asked, trying on 3 more pairs of spectacles before settling on a pair that improved her vision satisfactorily.
"The blighters are almost impossible to identify by anyone other than one of Hegiria's marked,"
Quindor responded.
"The trainees join the guard on their patrols in order to identify and put down those who have succumbed."
"Put down?" She tried and failed to keep the acid from her voice. "They are human beings, not rabid dogs."
"Were human beings,"
the Grandmaster corrected.
"Now only corpses animated by the 7th's power. You must vanquish from your mind any notion that they are otherwise, Lydia, or risk madness."
"Is this why I'm here, then?" she demanded. "To be used to hunt down people we should be trying to save?" This wasn't the battle she'd agreed to fight. She had come believing she'd be working to find a cure, a way to save her people, not this. Quindor leaned back in his chair.
"They cannot be saved. Do you think we haven't tried?"
"Clearly not hard enough." She dug her nails into the arms of her chair. "The blight still mars the land, which means people will continue to fall ill. If the answer is to kill them all, soon Mudamora will be populated by corpses." Quindor eyed her for a long moment.
"Your passion is commendable, Lydia, if misdirected. The royal army is occupied with clearing the kingdom of the remains of the Darren army, but once that task is complete, we can begin to discuss what might be done to stop the blight from infecting more people."
"What about the tenders?" She remembered the conversation she'd once had with Killian, his theory that the blight might be caused by individuals marked by the 7th. "Why haven't they been brought to address the problem?"
"Because they are all dead."
"All?" Her stomach dropped. "How is that possible?" The Grand Master sighed.
"The endless toil of forcing the earth to yield in order to provide food for the royal army. Our own ranks were decimated by the war. There are more trainees here in the temple than living healers left in Mudamora."
"So few." And she remembered Killian explaining to her that if the marked weren't where they were needed to protect the people, it damaged faith in the 6. And that was what gave the corruptor his power. "If that is the case, then we must find a cure before it spreads." Quindor folded his hands, watching her over them.
"I can see that you'll not be swayed until you've seen the proof yourself. Come."
He took her into the sublevel of the tower, the circular staircase illuminated by candles that cast dancing shadows over the stone steps. Much like the levels above ground, the corridor ran in a circle with doors on the exterior of the hallway, though what lay in the rooms beyond she had no notion. Ahead, she caught sight of two guards standing outside of one of the doors, both of whom inclined their head to Quindor as he approached.
Grandmaster.
This is Lydia,
he said to them,
one of Hegeria's marked who has recently joined us.
They lowered their heads respectfully.
Marked one.
It was all she could do not to cringe at the honorific. Instead, smiling at them.
Before we go in, Quindor said, I'll remind you that what you will hear is not the voice of a child, but the voice of the seventh god. And the corruptor is nothing if not a liar.
At her nod, he pulled a key from his robes and inserted it into the lock, then swung the door open, allowing Lydia to step inside. She'd expected to find a dungeon cell, chains, a cage. Instead, Lydia's eyes fell upon a room with more comfortable appointments than her own. The walls were paneled with tapestries depicting each of the six, the floor layered with carpets, and the bed at the center covered with thick blankets. Several lamps burned brightly, and a brazier gave off needed heat. And on the floor, wearing a pink woolen dress and playing with a puzzle, was a little brunette girl. At the sound of them, the child turned, and a gasp tore from Lydia's face as she recognized her as one of the orphans who'd lived with Finn in the sewers. A girl whose life Lydia had saved from illness. A girl who now possessed no more essence of life in her than the stone floor she stood upon.
Grandmaster Quindor, the girl said, smiling wide. It has been so long since you visited.
I've been away, Emmy, he answered. Only just returned. How do you feel?
Well,
the girl, Emmy, beamed. Then her upturned gray eyes moved to Lydia, her head cocking slightly.
I know you.
Lydia's blood chilled, her mind recoiling at the idea that the words were coming not from a little girl, but from a dark god.
You were one of the princess's guards.
Yes. Lydia's voice croaked, and she coughed to clear her throat. I also saved your life in the sewers. Do you remember that?
That was you!
Emmy bounded to her feet, the pink ribbons on her braids bouncing on her shoulders, and Lydia had to steel herself from taking a step back.
Finn told us it was Hegeria herself.
Finn likes to tell stories. It was me.
Oh!
The girl darted across the room, flinging her arms around Lydia's waist and squeezing tightly.
I remember your face sparkled like diamonds. You looked like a princess of the north.
Lydia's heart thundered against her ribcage, her fingers like ice as she placed a hand against the girl's back, feeling the measured rise and fall of breath, certain that if she pressed her ear to Emmy's chest, she'd hear the beating of a heart. Everything about her appeared alive and vital. But Lydia's mark told her a very different story. One could not heal the dead. She knew that. Except abandoning Emmy to the fate of the child she'd watched murdered on the street made Lydia sick. Quindor was watching, his face grim.
Try, if you must.
She had to. She had to know.
Emmy, will you sit for a moment?
At the girl's nod, Lydia led her to the bed, lifting her on top of it and then sitting next to her. Then she took a deep breath and took hold of Emmy's hand, feeling the warmth of the girl's skin against her own. And she pushed. It was as though something sank its claws into her and yanked, dragging life from Lydia with painful violence. A scream tore from her throat, and then she was on her back on the floor, Quindor kneeling next to her.
Many others, including me, have tried to bring her back, but one can't heal death.
He looked to the girl.
Thank you, Emmy.
A sniffle filled Lydia's ears. and she looked up to find the little girl weeping. Climbing to her feet, she sat next to Emmy again, careful to keep her hands a safe distance. It's not your fault.
The Grand Master tells me that I am dead,
Emmy whispered.
But I don't feel dead.
She looked up at Lydia.
Is he telling the truth?
Lydia bit her bottom lip, then said, There is no life in you. Emmy's chin trembled. She reached into her pocket, pulling out something that glinted in the lamplight. A gold and onyx cufflink in the shape of a galloping horse.
He told me that he'd protect me,
the girl whispered. Then she dropped the cufflink on the floor with a clatter.
He lied.
He did protect you, Lydia wanted to scream, but instead bit the insides of her cheeks until she tasted blood.
Calm yourself, Emmy. We will leave you to your toys.
Quindor motioned Lydia to follow him outside, closing the door firmly behind them.
That,
she pointed back toward the room holding Emmy,
is cruelty of the purest form. No matter what has been done to her body, her mind is intact. She's a little girl who doesn't understand what's happening to her.
Quindor sighed.
What you were speaking to wasn't human, Lydia.
But she has Emmy's memories, Lydia protested, wishing she could calm her galloping heart. How could—
The Corruptor know such things?
Quindor interrupted.
Because he is a god.
But she's nothing like those monsters that attacked the night of Malahai's ball. Those were violent and mindless and terrifying. Emmy! She broke off at the expression on the Grandmaster's face.
Is dead.
He caught her elbow, leading her around the hallway.
And what we are seeing is nothing more than a shift in the Corruptor's strategy to win this war. Before, those infected with blight served to terrify and kill. But now they serve a more insidious purpose. To destroy faith in the Six from the inside by undermining the Marked, by making the living followers of the Six believe the Marked have failed them.
The sound of Killian's cufflink falling to the floor echoed through her head, and Lydia's skin chilled.
Yes, the cufflink.
Quindor rose the stairs, his boots making soft pats against the stone.
She said much the same to me when first we brought her here. Truth twisted to a poison in the ears of all who'd listen. How many did she tell it to before we caught her? How many now see Lord Calorian as having failed in his duty to protect the kingdom and its people? How many have lost faith in Tremen as a result?
A terrifying question. But all Lydia could think of was how much it would hurt Killian to hear it. How he'd blame himself as much and more than anyone else who heard it.
The blight itself has ceased its spread, but we have no notion of how many of the infected were able to flee during the evacuation. Even now, dozens, perhaps more of them could be spreading their poisonous words throughout the kingdom, throughout all of Wreath, with no one the wiser. They must be stopped, and Hegiria's Marked are the only ones capable of doing so.
There was logic in his words, but each time Lydia blinked, she remembered Emmy in the sewer tunnels the first night she and Killian had started healing the orphans. How the girl had rallied from her illness beneath Lydia's hands. How the first thing she'd done when she'd recovered was fling her arms around Killian's neck, her faith in him, absolute. It was hard to believe that girl was gone. But Lydia's mark didn't lie. If the blighters are so dangerous, why are you keeping Emmy alive? Why not just— She remembered his words from before. Put her down.
Because it will allow us to see if the blight continues to evolve.
The Grandmaster replied as they reached the top of the stairs, the main level full of soldiers, as well as dozens of young healers in white robes and cloaks.
And because she reminds me both of the evil we face and of the goodness we have lost. Something you should keep in mind, because tomorrow morning, it's time you joined the hunt.